From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. August 6th marks the 75th anniversary of the first time in human history that a nuclear bomb was dropped onto a major city as an act of war. American students of history are told that the decision to drop an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and then 3 days later on Nagasaki was necessary in order to send a message to Japan and decisively end World War II. My guest, Gar Alperovitz, just wrote an op-ed in the LA Times that, quote, "The overwhelming historical evidence from American and Japanese archives indicates that Japan would have surrendered that August, even if atomic bombs had not been used. And documents prove that President Truman and his closest advisors knew it." Gar Alperovitz is formerly a fellow of King's College, Cambridge, the Institute for Politics at Harvard, and Lionel Bauman Professor of Political Economy at the University of Maryland. He's written the book Atomic Diplomacy, Hiroshima and Potsdam and the Decision to Use the Atomic Bomb. He's also currently a principal of the Democracy Collaborative, an independent research institution in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program, Gar.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Sally.
So your op-ed in the LA Times with Martin Sherwin is entitled U.S. Leaders Knew We Didn't Have to Drop Atomic Bombs on Japan to Win the War. We did it anyway. First, how is the history, the conventional history taught to Americans that in general terms, the atomic bombing was necessary in order to prevent more bloodshed?
Well, that particular story, and I would say it's a myth, is still very popular if you read today's newspapers. It's taught that somehow this was the only way to prevent a massive invasion, which would have cost thousands of Japanese as well as American lives. And so the bomb was something that saved lives and did not take lives. That's conventional wisdom, and it's in many history books, although there's a change in the modern scholarship. It hasn't been caught up with in the kind of books you see in the high schools and university texts in many cases, not all cases.
The narrative at that time in 1945, what was it that Truman said was the reasoning behind it? And was it even clear that it was the U.S. that had done this?
Yes, it was clear that the U.S. had done this. And the argument was that the atomic bomb prevented an invasion, which could have cost thousands and thousands of lives. That was a good thing, not a bad thing. It saved lives. Interestingly, almost all of the top U.S. military leaders, quite amazingly, went public almost immediately after the war saying the use of the atomic bomb was totally unnecessary. These are generals and admirals. Even President Eisenhower publicly is on record saying the bomb was totally unnecessary. Or if you go down to the Navy Museum, the official Navy Museum here, it says that the entry of the Russians into the war ended the war, and not the atomic bomb. But the military record is publicly stated, very interestingly, say pretty much what the historians, some of the historians that I work with say, they knew that the atomic bomb was unnecessary, and they used it anyway.
In fact, in your op-ed, you quote Truman's chief of staff, Leahy, who said in his memoir, "The use of this barbarous weapon at Hiroshima and Nagasaki was of no material assistance in our war against Japan. The Japanese were already defeated and ready to surrender. In being the first to use it, we had adopted an ethical standard common to the barbarians of the Dark Ages." That's pretty strong language. So did Truman fail to consult with these generals in his decision to drop these bombs?
Well, notice that man is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's not just an admiral. And he's chairman of the combined British and American Joint Chiefs of Staff. That viewpoint of the military is quite interesting. And if you go down to the Navy Museum, you'll see a big poster or kind of placard saying pretty much the same thing. They understood the war was totally over. So we know that from the military side, which is quite unusual. We always think of the military as the ones who want to use all weapons. That's just not true in this case. It was President Truman and his advisors who were more concerned with diplomacy, really towards the Russians at this point in time, the military people did not believe the bomb was necessary.
General Douglas MacArthur also felt that it was unnecessary and that he that it was, you used the word inexcusable. What did he say?
Well, the same view. They were watching, you know, the United States had broken the Japanese codes. So we were reading all the telegrams back and forth. They were attempting to surrender using Russia as the mediator. We knew our U.S. intelligence understood as early as April. Now, the bomb was used on August 6th. As early as April, U.S. intelligence said, when the Russians attacked, when the Red Army attacks, the Japanese will surrender because they cannot fight a two-front war. We had asked the Russians and the Red Army to come in because we didn't know until July 16th whether the bomb would work. And we knew that would end the war. So there's just no doubt about what the intelligence was saying and what the U.S. military was saying. And indeed, they made every effort to make sure that this was understood clearly in the weeks before at the Potsdam Conference, just before the bombing.
So why did Truman do what he did? There's some evidence that he basically had an extremely low opinion of the Japanese. There is a letter that he had written that justified the use of the bomb, saying that, "I know that Japan is a terribly cruel and uncivilized nation in warfare, but I can't bring myself to believe that because they are beasts, we should ourselves act in that same manner. For myself, I certainly agree the necessity of wiping out whole populations because of the pig-headedness of the leaders of a nation, etc." And he said he wouldn't do it till he was absolutely necessary. I mean, he used the word beasts to describe them.
I don't think that the primary motivation was racist. Truman was. It did seem just what you said. He did have those attitudes. But if you go into German cities, which are white Europeans, and see what U.S. bombers did there, take a look at Dresden, you will see a massive destruction against the ordinary white civilians as well. By this point in time, the man who was controlling this decision was the Secretary of State, James Burns, somebody forgotten in history. But he was sort of like a vice president who spoke Dick Cheney, who spoke in the ear of President Bush, who controlled things for a long time. And he was very much on the record. We know what he felt. One, he wanted to make the Russians more, quote, manageable in Europe. And the bomb was a weapon for that. Truman called it a hammer on those boys, the Russians. And secondly, he wanted to end the war, as did Truman, before the Red Army got very far into Manchuria, for political reasons and diplomatic reasons. Now, this is all, had the bomb not worked, we were begging the Russians to come into the war to help us, because that would end the war without an invasion. But once the bomb worked, everything changed, and we wanted to stop them or stop the war before they got very far into Manchuria.
Didn't Japan try to enlist Russia's help to pull out of the war?
Yes, indeed, that's true. The Japanese, and we had broken all the codes, so we knew everything was going on. We were reading all the telegrams back and forth. The Japanese had sent their ambassador with instructions to try to get the Russians to mediate an end of the war. They knew that the game was over, and they knew that if the Russians came in, the Red Army, that was it. So, and we were watching all these telegrams back and forth, as the president called it, President Truman, reading this, the secret code had been broken. He called it the Jap telegram asking for peace, well before Hiroshima.
Wow. Did the Japanese accept did the Japanese view this narrative that has unfolded, that dropping the bombs was necessary to ending World War II?
Well, it's a very odd situation, because the truth is Japanese cities had been destroyed one right after another by massive firebombing. So while we are very impressed with the atomic bomb, at that time in 1945, it was quite interesting and extraordinary, but not much different from what B-29 bombers had been doing to Tokyo, which is massive firebombing, which was very horrendous. In retrospect, the atomic bomb is extremely large in history. At that time, it was just another city, I'm exaggerating, a city after many, many cities had been destroyed and firebombed. Tokyo was burned to the ground. by firebombing, which was a horrible, horrible kind of bombing, which had huge, huge high-intensity fires, which not only burned the houses and the people, but drew all the oxygen out of the air through the fires, and people suffocated. It was terrible. So the Japanese were used to this kind of horrible attack on cities. The atomic bomb was another city at that point, and when the bomb went off, that did not precipitate surrender. What precipitated the cabinet to surrender was the Red Army attack in Manchuria, just as U.S. intelligence had said would happen all along.
The bombs could have been not dropped, and history would have probably seen World War II end without the loss, the massive loss of life and the incredibly, you know, generations of devastation that Hiroshima and Nagasaki felt. Would you agree?
Yes, there was very little fighting going on at this particular time, because what was happening is that the U.S. was preparing for the first landing, which could not take place till November. This is August we're talking about. And the actual invasion couldn't take place till the spring of 1946, many, many months off. So at this time in July, just before the August 6th and the August 9th bombing, Hiroshima the 6th and Nagasaki the 9th, very little was going on in this respect. There was plenty of time to test, if you like, whether the bomb would do what U.S. intelligence said would do, or what the Russian attack would, as the military said, this will end the war. Plenty of time to test whether that was true, and you could have used the bomb later. One of the precipitating factors was we knew the Russians were coming in on August 8th, and it is not really an accident that the bombs were used on August 6th before that. And the second one, when it was ready, it would have probably been used earlier if it was ready, but it was used on August 9th, just after the Russian attack.
Did Truman ever express regret for dropping the bombs? Did he ever? I know that in general, the U.S., I believe, has never actually officially apologized, right? Truman ever express regret?
Truman never expressed regret. There is one very interesting meeting he had with a man who was the U.S. Postmaster General. By chance, he visited Truman and they were having a drink, and out of nowhere he began to talk about how terrible it was. He didn't apologize, but he began to reminisce about it in a very strange way. This man kind of wrote a long, long diary entry about it. So he was probably troubled by what he had done. Though he thought he'd saved a lot of lives, prevented an invasion, he convinced himself that it was the right thing to do. But there is this one moment where he talks to a colleague, and we have some sense that maybe he thought second thoughts or third thoughts about it for a while.
So it's been 75 years since those bombs were dropped. Since then, no other nation has dropped an atomic bomb on any other nation. The horrific explosion in Lebanon this week revived fears, because the explosion was so massive it caused a mushroom cloud, and some people initially thought that it was an atomic bomb, but there is certainly a massive fear. I mean, if there was any one thing that came out of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it seems a human desire perhaps to never repeat such an action?
Well, that to me is what Hiroshima is all about, the future now, not about the past. Hmm. What it tells us is that, think of the man who's now president of the United States, who could literally destroy the world.
And has talked about wanting to use the bombs, and has wondered aloud why we have them if we don't use them.
Yes. So it's and who may be the next president, or the one beyond the next president. We have been very, very, very lucky for 75 years that this hasn't gone off in some place. Even in another country, that is to say India, Pakistan, could have. There would be huge dust in the air, kind of what's called a nuclear winter could occur. So the attempt, Hiroshima is more about the future. What it should do is make us really revive the campaigns for nuclear disarmament and arms control, to ratchet down these 7,000 nuclear weapons around the world. I doubt we're going to go another 75 years before some of these don't go off in anger, and we will all pay the cost. As I say, they are not restricted to, for instance, Pakistan and India. They will create massive global warming and global freezing probably. So there's great danger here for everyone, and it's time to get much more serious about nuclear issues.
Why do you think Americans continue to harbor this myth about the necessity of dropping these bombs in order to end World War II? Is this an inability or an unwillingness by Americans to admit that, you know, our nation was responsible for such mass death?
I think that's one factor. It's very hard to face this. The historians have been very mixed on this subject. That you'll see today's papers will be full of people almost universal, not quite universally. Some papers will carry contrary views, the kind of arguments that people like myself and Martin Sherwin and Kai Bird and several and Peter Kuznick and many other historians have been raising these questions, and great, more and more historians understand this. But the dominant press view is still, occasionally you get a good story in the paper, the Los Angeles Times ran one. People do not like to face the fact that the President of the United States, that our nation may have, you know, essentially bombed mostly civilians, that the young men in Hiroshima and Nagasaki were off to war. Who was left behind? Old people, women, and children, by and large. There were a couple in manufacturing installations. There were some small military bases, but very minor. So people, it's very hard to think that the decision was made to bomb such places unnecessarily, knowing that the war would end as soon as the Russians attacked, because we had asked them to come, because our intelligence had told us the war would end when the Russians attacked. So it's a very, very difficult thing for many people to face that the leadership actually made decisions in this circumstance.
And we know that, of course, naturally, the bombings deeply changed Japan, not just culturally, but also politically. Today, are you seeing 75 years later in Japan, revisiting of the horrors of nuclear weapons, but also nuclear power? Japan became a very strongly anti-nuclear nation for decades. Is that changing?
I hope not. I think by and large, there still is enough anti-nuclear, so far as I understand, sentiment. But there are always, military people and right-wing political people who are agitating for changing this long-standing Japanese view within the country. So at the moment, I think it's pretty stable, but it's a risky business.
How much of a risk do we remain under today when we think about nuclear weapons? This is, although you and I are talking about something that happened 75 years ago, the U.S. still and several other countries maintain nuclear weapons. There's, you know, this sense that, well, they are there as a deterrent, but and the anti-nuclear movement, which was very popular some decades ago and very active, seems to just not be catching on among younger generations. Is that danger of nuclear disaster through nuclear weapons still a real one? Aside from Trump's trigger happiness?
I think it's, you're right. We haven't seen a very active nuclear movement, anti-nuclear movement. I think it's time for many, many people to begin actually getting serious about this. If Mr. Trump doesn't scare you, I don't know what should. And I think it's one of the reasons, the most important reason to talk about Hiroshima is the future, not the past. So I write about it as a historian, but I actually think this is the time to really think about rebuilding and getting active about the danger of these weapons and the danger of making a mistake, or the danger of some electing someone who would not make a mistake, but purposely use them and then find that there's an attack and counterattack and nuclear winter and all of the dangers here. It's time to bring all of this back into public discourse. It's been too quiet for a long time. I'm kind of hopeful in one sense that the movements of the Black Lives Matter movement, the feminist movement, the environmental movement, these movements have come sort of out of nowhere. And I've been around long enough to have seen anti-war movements and anti-nuclear movements pop up. So I'm just because it's quiet, I'm not totally pessimistic, speaking as a historian, that we can't begin to revive some serious attention to this. We have been so lucky for so long. And when something really, really dangerous happens, we'll all pay a very serious price, and so will our children and grandchildren.
Knowing history enables us to be better prepared to not repeat it. And as you and I have been talking, unfortunately, this history is rife with myths about the necessity to drop the atomic bombs. Is there a campaign of any kind to make American history books more accurate on this issue in particular?
Well, there are. It's very hard to let go of myths, particularly if they're self-satisfying myths. There have been some very important films on this. Showtime did a whole series by Oliver Stone and Peter Kuznick. One of them is about the atomic bomb, and saying pretty much the same kind of historiography that I've been describing for you. So there's some movement in that direction. But if you see the Los Angeles Times ran an op-ed by myself and Martin Sherwin on this, but in many other papers, you'll find the conventional view is repeated without question. So there's a lot of work to do. But as we've learned from Black Lives Matter and from the feminist movement, the environmental movement, political work can be done. And it's time to get rolling on the nuclear issue again. It's been quiet for a long time.
Well, Gar, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your LA Times op-ed from our website. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
My guest has been Gar Alperovitz, author of Atomic Diplomacy, Hiroshima and Potsdam, and The Decision to Use the Atomic Bomb. He's also currently a principal of the Democracy Collaborative, an independent research institution in Washington, D.C. His op-ed with Martin Sherwin was just published by the LA Times, and it's called U.S. Leaders Knew We Didn't Have to Drop Atomic Bombs on Japan to Win the War. We did it anyway. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Bye.